We want to continue studying this cloud of witnesses that we have in Hebrews chapter 11. And there's a goodly portion dedicated to Abraham and Sarah. Yet I do believe that all of them had the same testimony as Abraham and Sarah. They all look for a city whose builder and maker is God, the heavenly city. They all were under the watch care and protection of the Lord. And this morning we want to reflect on the fact that all of them had to endure testing. They had to endure trials, some worse than others, but they all had to endure the cup that God had given them. I'm just reminded myself of verse 35 in Hebrews 11, where it says, "Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." One of the tests and trials that we may have to endure in our life is the loss of our life. And yet God can raise us from the dead if He chooses to raise us from the dead. But Abraham was tested by God. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, we find this portion dealing with that test. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Abraham loved Isaac. Abraham waited a long time for Isaac to come. And the test that God gave Abraham was to sacrifice this one that God had promised would be his seed, or would be part of the lineage of his seed. So by killing Isaac, or sacrificing Isaac, as God asked him to do, he would be ruining God's plan in his own eyes. Abraham's eyes, he says, "You know, Lord, what do you want me to kill him for? He's the guy that's going to be, you know, the next in line. He's the one who's going to have sons and daughters and so forth." And yet God tested him, saying, "I want you to offer him to me. I want you to give him to me." Basically speaking, we know that God is not into human sacrifice, but we are to prefer God over our most cherished possession. Possessions, I guess we could put it in the plural. And so God is asking Abraham to offer Isaac. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, we are exhorted to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Abraham was a man of faith, and because he was a man of faith, God was going to test his faith. And I think that we need to be encouraged to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, so that we can pass the test that God will bring about in our lives to try our faith. In 2 Corinthians 13, 5, it says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be disapproved?" If we're not living by faith, we are not going to be approved of God. And the reason for that is this: because we're not pleasing Him. And God wants us to live by faith so that we can please Him. In fact, in Hebrews 11:1, reminding ourselves what faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what is the evidence that we need in our life to please God? Verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The evidence of our faith is diligence on our part in doing what? In seeking God. In seeking the Lord. What does that mean? I believe it means reading your Bible daily, and I believe it means prayer, daily prayer. And then not only just simply reading your Bible, but trying to respond to what you read in obedience. The substance that we have that faith provides for us, I believe, is in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The substance for things hoped for has to do with our inheritance in verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We need to put substance to our inheritance. What is our inheritance? It's rewards. It's our reward. It is because He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What is He going to reward us with? He is going to reward us with our inheritance, because that's something that we can lose. So our hope needs to be alive, and God has provided a means for us to be alive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That keeps the substance real. Jesus keeps the substance real because He is our high priest. And that hope is in an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And I should have put in here, through faith. If you make shipwreck of the faith, that inheritance can be taken away. We can lose our inheritance. Now, when it talks about being Christ in us, actually Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. He is our intercessor. He is in His body of flesh and bones. His blood is on the mercy seat. So who indwells us? The Holy Spirit indwells us. So how can Christ be in us if He's at the right hand of the Father in His body of flesh and bones? Well, He is not literally in us, but we can have the mind of Christ. We can have the attitude of Christ. We can have the purpose that Christ had when He was here on the earth. What was the purpose of Christ here on the earth? To do the will of Him that sent Him and to finish His work. That's the mind that we need to have. In fact, it tells us that in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That is what is meant by Christ being in us. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, it was when Jesus cried, Abba, Father, that we have some appreciation of what it means to have Christ in us. He says, all things are possible unto thee. I don't like this cup, Father. I don't like it. But it's okay. It's okay because it's okay with you, I think is what he was saying. He's saying, take this cup away from me, or take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thine be done. That's the mind of Christ. And by examining ourselves, do we have that attitude about God's will for our life? Our limitations? Our abilities? These are all part of God's dealing with us. So, we need to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, because we can rest assured that we will be tested if we are pleasing God. Again, I remind us in Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. We find the sequence of those events in Genesis chapter 22. Verses 1 through 14. And it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, He tested him. And he said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here I am. I like what Abraham said. First of all, I know that Abraham was listening. Abraham was listening. Are we listening to God today? And I like what he said, Behold. He says, I am naked, and before you, you can look at me. You can look at my life. Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. God was asking Abraham to offer his heir. Like I said before, one who Abraham waited for a long time to get. Maybe 50 years. We know for 25, but we don't know really how many years it was by the time he left the Ur of the Chaldees to go to Haran, and then from Haran down into the land of Canaan, for sure. But I know that he at least waited 25 years with all kinds of little shenanigans in between. And here God's saying, I want you to take his life away. I like it that God knows and knew that Abraham loved this boy. God knew he loved him. And he says, I know you love him, by saying, Whom thou lovest. So what did Abraham do? He took a sabbatical, didn't he? A sabbatical is a year leave of absence. No. Verse 3, And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood, the burnt offering, for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Abraham obeyed right away. He didn't put it off. He didn't take a vacation. When he found out what God wanted him to do, he did it. That's an evidence of faith. That's an evidence of confidence in the God whom you serve. And sometimes you do not seek other counsel. Abraham didn't check with Sarah. If Abraham checked with Sarah, what would have happened? It may not work. Sometimes when you may get the wrong counsel, you need to listen to the Lord and do what he says. But Abraham was confident. Verse 4 beginning, it says, On the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I think it was a test for God to tell Abraham to go to a mountain, and it took him 3 days to get there. If it was just around the corner, Abraham could have just gone around the corner and, taken care of it. But you know what? God allowed him to have 3 days to think about it. I'm sure that the devil worked on him, and Abraham was thinking about it 3 days. Sometimes the test can be severe. And so therefore we need to be in control of our what? Our thought life. Abraham, I believe, was concentrating on God's command to go to this place, Moriah. And he was not thinking about how long he had to wait, what an ordeal it was to bear or to have Isaac, and that all that he went through. He says, but when he got there, he told those that were with him, I and the lad go yonder to worship and come again to you. Did you know that giving up something that you hold dear to you is an act of worship? That's the reason why I associate giving in the offering. We think of money as something that is very precious to us. If we didn't think it was very precious to us, we'd put it in tin cans. and put it out on the front steps or on the back alley and let them pick it up. Anyway, you know, it's just paper. But anyway, it's something of value. It's something important to us. And by giving something that's important to us, it's an act of worship. So Abraham left his servants and he went to the mountain and he says, I'm coming again. He says, I and the lad go yonder and come again to you. He believed that Isaac would be raised from the dead and that he would come back with him to his servants. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abram his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. Not only was Abraham conscious of God's leadership in his life, but he was conscious of others in need of his son. He was listening. I think that's part of caring for one another, loving and providing for one another. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You know, obviously Abraham and Isaac had done this before, in a way, where they worship the Lord. Isaac knew that it took a lamb or a goat to make an offering. And then in verse 8, Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And I'm sure that we can adjust the punctuation of that sentence and say, God will provide himself a lamb for an offering. And I can only hear what John the Baptist said while he was at the Jordan River, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know, Isaac says, Where is the lamb? You know who answered that question? John, at the Jordan River, when he baptized Jesus. Isaac says, Where is the lamb? John says, There he is. God will provide a lamb. So they both went, both of them together, and they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and God stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Was Abraham still listening? He sure was. He was listening. That's one of the things that we need to be in tune. That's the reason why it's important to pray, and that's the reason why it's important to read God's Word daily. That's how you listen. And Abraham was listening. And verse 12, and God says, and the Lord said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God. This whole sequence of events that happened in Genesis 22 happened because Abraham what? He feared God. What happens when we lose the fear of God? We're not listening to him, and we're not doing what he wants us to do. Abraham feared God, and it caused him to do everything he did in the sequence that he did it, and he didn't fail. God says, I know you fear me, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Others translate this, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. When God is taking that which is precious to you away from you, he will provide something better. Either a substitute, as he did for Isaac, or a better blessing, whatever, the Lord will provide. And we need to trust Him to do that. You know what happened when Abraham offered Isaac? By offering Isaac, Abraham was approved. Look in James 2 and verse 20 through 25. This is talking about faith, and it includes the incident of Isaac and Abraham in Genesis 22. But in verse 20 it says, Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abraham offered Isaac. And obviously there was works involved. 3 days of travel. Is that in works? 3 days to change your mind, if you please. He was justified by works. That's evidence. Abraham showed evidence that he believed God. He trusted Him. And when he had offered Isaac his son, offered Isaac his son upon the altar, he was justified. He was approved of God. God says, I like the way you perform. You're my friend. In fact, this passage tells us that he was a friend of God. But notice in Romans chapter 4, the contrast to the passage James chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Notice that Paul is saying that to him that worketh, And this word work is in the present tense, and it's in the middle voice, and it means to work for oneself. And because faith is not included in this passage, it's works without faith. And it's talking about rewards, not salvation. He is talking about rewards. What was the reward that Abraham anticipated and looked for? A city whose builder and maker is God. That was his reward. Now, if we just work alone and we have no faith, then we can say that the reward is on the basis of debt. God owes me. But God doesn't owe us anything. But only works that are done by grace are acceptable. Hebrews 12:28, it didn't include it in the notes, but Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, may we have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Did you know that entrance into the kingdom is set? It cannot be moved. It will not be changed. Acceptable service for God is done on the basis of grace. And what does that mean? It means that the power of Christ enabled us to do the work that will be gold and silver and precious stone. You work on your own, you produce wood, hay, and stubble. And that's what this passage is saying in verse 4 is saying. You work with no grace, no faith. You're saying God owes you your reward. But God's not in debt on those bases. Now, verse 22 back in Romans, or James 2, it says, see thou how faith wrought by his works, and works by, was faith made perfect or complete? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it, that is faith, was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Abraham was a man of faith. He was obedient. He put substance and evidence to his faith. And God called him a friend. In Romans 4, in verse 5, it talks about works by grace, which we've already
expanded a little bit in Romans 4:4, but in Romans 4:5 it says, "But to him that worketh not," by the way, the word "worketh" is in the is a present modal, "worketh for himself, not without grace," I believe that's what it's talking about, "but believeth," present active, faithfulness on our part. And I put in here John 6:29 to remind us that the work of God is believing in the present tense. That's what believing is. Believing in the present tense is the work of God. And it says, "But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And I emphasize the fact that the definite article "the" is before faith, and faith is in the nominative case. I know that this is a lot of grammar, but a lot of people apply the reckoning or the imputing to righteousness and not to faith. And faith is the subject of this sentence, and that's what is counted. And by the way, the word "counted" is in the present tense as well. It's a process of being reckoned. And it's faith that is reckoned to Abraham, because faith was not revealed until after the law. So that's another study in itself. But it's works by grace and not works alone. Okay? Now, verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Works is evidence. Faith is substance of what we hope for. And they both go together. That's what James is teaching us. "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way?" Works, by hiding the spies, but there was faith included when she did what? When she hung the scarlet line in the window. What was that hope for? It was a hope that she would not be killed when Israel took Jericho, and that she would have an inheritance. And let me tell you, she really got a good deal. She was included in the lineage of Jesus Christ. That is great. Now, proving our faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance," or for an inheritance, "incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith." If we make shipwreck of the faith, we will not receive the inheritance. This inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, because we continue in the faith. "Unto salvation." This is not the common salvation. This is not getting born again. This is a so great salvation. This is talking to those who are already in the family, who already have hope, who already acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ in their life. These are those who are expecting an inheritance. And the only way that we're going to have that inheritance is to continue living by faith. What does it mean? Continue to pleasing God. So the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time is a so great salvation of Hebrews chapter 2. Now, continuing in verse 6. "Wherein ye have greatly rejoiced, though now for a season, if need be, ye're in heaviness through manifold trials." There are times when it is needful for us to be tested.
And there are times when it is needful for us not to be tested. We're not tested 7/24. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 52 weeks of the year. Sometimes it can be a long time, but God knows when to give us some relief. You know, God does not want our spirit to fail. He does not want our soul to fail. I can't give you the verse, but I have it in my stack of memory verses at home. I know God doesn't want us to fail. And you know, when we become depressed, we can become defeated and we can cause our spirits and our souls to fail. God doesn't want that to happen. He wants us to have victory in this area in our life. Otherwise, we'd quit. And there are plenty of people quitting. So, it is needful for us to be in heaviness through testings. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The testing of our faith is what is going to be found unto praise and honor and glory when Jesus Christ returns. Jesus Christ has honor and glory today. But it is our faith that has been tested and proven true will be found unto praise and honor and glory. And notice that it might be. The subjunctive. You know what that means? It might not be. Why might it not be? If we make shipwreck of the faith, it won't be. If we don't pass the test, it won't be. If we pass the test by the power of God in our life, then we will receive honor and glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, verse 8, you love. That's obedience. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's evidence of faith. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. Believing has to do with faithfulness. Faithfully trusting his word. This is evidence of faith. Believing that what he said he will do and what he said he will make it good. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation, the so great salvation, even the salvation which is in Christ, referred to in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses in verse chapter 2 Timothy 2:10, even the salvation of your soul. This is a salvation that has to do with the coming kingdom. Entering the kingdom is a salvation that is referred to by the apostles in like Matthew chapter 19. It's the salvation of the soul. 2 Timothy 2:10 tells us, Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with age-lasting glory. This is a salvation for those who are already saved. This is a salvation for the elect, those who have been called and chosen to rule and reign with Christ. And Paul's desire was that those who have been called and chosen would enter into that salvation, which has to do with this coming kingdom. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul, confirming the souls of the disciples, he exhorted them to do what? To continue in the faith. That's what I want to do for all of us this morning. I want to confirm you and to encourage you, as well as myself, not to quit. I want us all to continue in the faith. You know what that means? I want you and I want all of us to continue to please God. I want all of us to continue to know that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. I'm here to encourage us to seek Him, even though we may go through some hard times. Tribulation. You know what? It takes hard times to enter the kingdom. And then James tells us in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he says, My brethren,
count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Sometimes the trials are no fun. And if it's no fun, if it's fun, it's not a trial. That's all there is to it. You know, when you love strawberry shortcake and you got to eat some, you can't count it all joy. Man, you just say, that is good stuff. And you enjoy it. It's when you have to eat something you don't want and you don't like. You have to experience something you don't like to. Then you reckon it. You count it that way. Knowing that the trying of your faith works endurance. Did you know if God did not test your faith, you wouldn't endure to the end? Without exercise, our bones and our muscles would deteriorate. That's the reason why they were talking about people traveling to the nearest star. If you can travel to the nearest star at the speed of light, it would take you 40 years to get there. And if you didn't exercise, or if you didn't exercise your muscles, your muscles would be gone and your bones would be gone. All the calcium would be gone. It's through stress that we find the muscle of faith to endure. So we need the trials and testings, because it's through the trials and testings that we find, are we able to endure to the end. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, that is, mature and complete, or a full age, and entire. That means you've got all that you need, and wanting nothing. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're there confidently. You don't lack anything. There's nothing you need, because Christ has provided it all by His grace and by giving us reward for diligently seeking Him. He is a rewarder that does of those who do. May the Lord help us to continue in the faith, even though in these last days many are not. Father, we just thank You for the testimony of Abraham. He was obedient. He pleased You. He was Your friend. Father, we desire to be Your friend as well. We want to hear well done. Help us, Lord, to be good and faithful to You. Help us, Father, to demonstrate faith with substance, giving substance to our hope and evidence to that, to believing that substance and that hope. We just pray, Father, that You would bless us in these days to continue in the faith, even though there may be many testings. May we appreciate the fact that the trial of our faith is more precious than any gold that we could have, knowing that it pleases You. Thank You again for Your faithfulness to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.